Welcome to the Independent Schools Show podcast series. Please enjoy and head to schoolsshow.co.uk for more information.
Good afternoon. We're going to start our talk. We've already had a stage invasion, such as the celebrity of our two guests. My name is Ed Vasey. I used to be a Member of Parliament. I'm now in the House of Lords. And I have two children at private school, although they're being that they're 13 and 14, I've been through a lot of what we're going to be talking about now, but I do remember those conversations, and I'm still interested, because anyone with a parent, anyone with a child at school is always interested in the ins and outs of private education. So I'm privileged to be joined by Jenny Brown, who is the head of City of London Girls' School, has been since 2019, was previously the head of St Albans, and I'm also very proud to say she was the head of the senior school at St Paul's Girls' School, without giving any hints as to where my daughter might be going. And also Dr. Ruth Sullivan, who has a PhD in epidemiology before she saw the light and became a teacher. She was appointed the head of Sherborne Girls' School in Dorset at the end of 2017. What is fascinating for me in terms of the dynamics for the next 20 minutes is that you were a pupil at City of London Girls' School, and I'm just wondering whether it's woven into your DNA that you're simply just going to be naturally deferential to Jenny as your head teacher. But can I start with you, Ruth? Talk a bit about Sherborne. You've been there now effectively 3 years.
Yeah, thank you. So, yes, I am an old girl of City Girls, but I'm also an old girl of Sherborne Girls. So I was at City till sick form and then moved to Sherborne Girls down in Dorset. So I don't know when I saw the light. Perhaps twice I saw the light. You never know. Deferential to a head, never, even now. So Sherborne Girls is, what is it? It's the most amazing educational organisation, institution, full of 480, just shy of 500, really motivated, wonderful, inspirational, kind and caring young people who it really is a privilege to work with. And it's also full of incredible staff, fully committed and passionate about their role in helping to shape the lives of young people. We're also a single-sex education establishment, but we have the benefit of a brother school, just like City Girls does with City Boys. We have a Sherborne school just a stone's throw, a few minutes walk away. So we're single-sex, and we're down in rural Dorset.
Jenny, follow that.
So very, very hard to follow. And I was thinking, no, she absolutely wouldn't be deferential to a head if she was a City Girl. That absolutely comes with the territory. And I'm imagining that most of you know quite a lot about City, just because, you know, it's in the heart of the capital, and here we are in London. But it's the most... I've had the incredible privilege over 25 years of working in six different schools, and, you know, this is me. This is it. It is the most exciting place to work, to lead, to be a pupil in. It's highly, highly selective, but full of really delightful, compassionate, grounded, unstuffy, kind human beings. They're really full of girls who take themselves very seriously, but hold themselves very lightly. And, you know, it's hard to sum up quite how amazing it is to be in the classroom. And by the way, I know that because I'm incredibly gluttonous about the teaching. I'm an English teacher, and I still do an awful lot of teaching there, and it's absolutely amazing. It's, you know, those classrooms are just full of, you know, that kind of questing excitement. And actually transporting, and increasingly I'm thinking there's something really interesting about the moment where people are transported out of themselves. And increasingly for adolescents, again, it'd be really interesting to see what people think about this, but being lifted out of their own identities is quite a good thing. You know, that moment when the ideas in the room are almost bigger than the people in it. And when, you know, when these girls are so full of mirrors and, you know, all that social media means about them thinking always about themselves and identities, that basic scholarly quest is fantastic. So that is us. We're Corporation of London School, which is brilliant because it means that every single pound we give or raise for bursaries, the corporation funds. It's absolutely baked into their ethos, and it's hugely important for us and for our inclusivity. And it really, really matters. I think that helps to make it, you know, a very, very diverse place. And the other thing that really defines it, it is bang in the heart of the city. We are, and we absolutely, as you'd expect, sweat all the assets of the cultural capital around us. We are right next to the Barbican. At the moment, they're lunching in the Guildhall. Livery halls all around us. We really, really use all of the fact of the kind of business centres and the cultural centres around us. I will stop there.
Brilliant. Well, it's fairly obvious, as you're all deciding where you might want to send your children to school, that we've got here the classic dilemma between sending your child to boarding school or sending your child to day school. But I also want to talk a bit, go in depth about the schools. I don't want to make this a bit like sort of Dragon's Den, where each head pitches against the other, because actually in the green room they were talking nine to the dozen, because we have two people here who are absolutely passionate about education and what they're doing for their schools. But could you talk a bit about, for example, the diversity of your pupils, what kind of backgrounds they come from, and the sort of balance between academic and other stuff, if I can put it that way, and also the staff, and where you recruit your staff. Should we start with you this time, Jenny, and go on to...
Yeah. So they come from absolutely everywhere. I mean, I've sort of touched a little bit on, obviously, within the, if you like, the constraints of it being an independent school, you know, it is very inclusive. Partly because of this huge bursary programme, and every year I could people every, you know, all my year seven with bursary applicants. It's a really, really fundamental part of our character and our values. And they come from a very, very wide range. I mean, we try and say that the commute should be no more. It is a commuting school. That's the other thing. People are not chauffeured to the school or driven, really, and they all have to make their way at the very last bit by foot, even if they do drive, which is very, very rare, because it's in the centre of the sort of Barbican concourse. We pull geographically from a very wide area, and it is, again, obviously, you know, within the kind of landscape of independent schools, diverse sort of ethnically and racially. And teachers, again, come from everywhere and stay.
Thank you. So we are similar in terms of, if we go back to what Jenny was saying a few minutes ago about the academic excellence of the school. City Girls is very much a selective school academically. We are selective, but we are not an academic hothouse. We have girls from all manner of cultures and backgrounds. 20% of our pupil body are overseas, and we have pupils from pretty much everywhere around the world. So whether that is Sweden, Australia, America, Kenya, China, Hong Kong, you name it, we have pupils from pretty much everywhere. We are not as diverse as you'll find in schools in London. We are representative of the diversity in Dorset, but what we're doing is actually really trying to understand fully what is meant by diversity. We have a pupil group called Pupil Voice that's set up, who are really trying to explore all aspects of diversity, looking at the difference between sex and gender. Yes, we're single sex, but we're not single gender. We have real diversity in terms of religious diversity, gender diversity within our staff as well. We've got about 30 to 40% of our staff identify as, well, they're biologically male, and we've got about 65% who are female. But again, our gender split varies from that. Just like Jenny, we have staff who join us, who are very committed to staying. They really like the environment. And we have families who move to us because of our inclusivity, the approach we take to global internationalism, and all the awards we win in terms of how we actually deal with diversity within the school.
Great. So let's get to the heart of the matter. When we were choosing our school, we were day school parents. We wanted to send our kids to day school, but this was before the invention of TikTok and before we got to know about the teenage brain. And part of me is now kind of swerving back towards maybe I wish I'd sent my kids to boarding school. So I'd love you, obviously, you're two fabulous schools and you will have no shortage of applicants. And one of the things I learnt when we were looking for schools is in effect, the school chooses your child, not in a hostile way, but the right school, your child tends to go end up going to the right school. But what are the differences? Because you've taught at a day school as well, you've taught at boarding schools. I mean, what are the kind of things parents should be thinking about when they're choosing boarding or day, or even if that's the wrong question?
So, you know, I've taught, this is my fifth school, as Jenny said, it's her sixth school she's worked in. I've worked in single-sex, co-ed, city-based, country-based. And this is a huge question for parents that they need to consider for their child. What I would say to everybody out there and anybody kind of listening at a later stage is there are more than enough amazing schools to go around. City will be absolutely spot on for some pupils. It was the perfect school for me when I went there. And prior to that, I'd been going to a state school in the East End of London. City gave me so much up to and including GCSE. But it wasn't right for me for sixth form. And I moved down to Dorset because parents were going through a fairly acrimonious separation. And suddenly, when I got to Dorset, I had the opportunity to have freedom. I had independence. I could think freely. I didn't have this kind of noise in the background. I could do all these activities because, as Jenny says, it's a commuting school. We don't have that. Yes, of course, there are benefits of being in London, but equally, there are benefits of being down in the countryside. Ed just mentioned about kind of TikTok and social media. One of the beauties of being at somewhere like Sherborne Girls for the girls is that actually they're free of sort of social convention and social expectations, societal expectations. The girls are themselves. I'm not saying they're not at all at City. I certainly was myself at City, I can assure you. But do you know what? The girls don't have their phones on throughout the day. They leave them in the boarding houses. That's their recreational device. When they go to school, they take their Surface, where a pen-enabled, we're trying to get Microsoft Showcase status at the moment. We started to roll out our digital strategy in 2019. So that actually when the pandemic hit and we went into lockdown, all of our pupils had a pen-enabled device. All of our staff had already been trained. So our transition was really, really smooth. So when you're thinking about the right school for your child, what I would say is you know your child probably better than anybody else. They might think differently, but you know them better than they know themselves, I can assure you. Put down what I say to parents is put down a list of what you really, really think your child's strengths are, what they kind of want from a school, what you want from a school. Are there any non-negotiables? Now, Ed a minute ago sort of said about day school. We are getting an increasing number of people who say, do you know what? We only ever thought about day school, but now everything that's happened over the last 18 months, few years, we're thinking perhaps boarding might be better for them. But there are pros and cons of all schools. What you've got to do is narrow it down. I say, as parents, maybe look at 10 schools, but without your child. Go round those schools. If you look at prospectuses, I can assure you they'll all look pretty amazing because companies are paid to make the prospectuses look fantastic. You need to get in, find out what is the atmosphere in that school. Talk to the pupils, talk to the staff. What are the priorities? What are the relationships between the pupils and the staff really like? We have one pupil, I'm very, very happy to say it, moving from Sherborne Girls to City for sixth form. That's fine. That is not a problem. Pupils need different things at different stages of their lives. There's now a big movement saying, actually, what parents want is something different for prep school, primary, something different for middle school, and potentially something different because your child develops and changes who they might be.
Ruth, I just want to stick with you for a bit before I move on to Jenny to talk about the day school issues. But two things occur to me. One is obviously I'm of the generation that thought of boarding school as, you know, you turn up on the first day of term and you see your parents at the end. That's changed a lot, hasn't it? It's much, much more flexible in terms of what we call exeats. I don't know what you call them these days. And the second thing is, you know, when you reference the girl moving from Sherborne to City of London, I also get the impression that many more pupils choose... I had a niece who decided to leave, funnily enough, a London day school to go to a boarding school, and it was kind of her choice, nothing to do with her parents, apart from the fact they were paying the school fees, obviously. But so could you talk a bit about the sort of modern boarding school? Because certainly for me, I have perhaps an out-of-date impression.
So I've certainly worked at one of those schools where up in Scotland, where the pupils would get dumped at the beginning of term and they probably wouldn't see their parents till the end of term. Then they go up to the Highlands and Islands and that would be their holiday as well, working on the kind of estate and at home. We are a full boarding school. So when we say full boarding, 90% plus of our girls board 7 days a week. But exactly as Ed said, every sort of 3 weeks, we have an exeat weekend where those girls go home on a Friday lunchtime and then come back on a Sunday night. Lots and lots of them come up to London. We have the equivalent of a Hogwarts kind of Harry Potter train that has staff on it that leaves Sherborne, arrives in Waterloo just about 2 hours later, stops at all the normal stops on the way. We share that train with Sherborne School, our brother school, who, as I say, about 4 or 5 minutes away. In addition to that, pupils can obviously go home, see their parents in between those times if they need to and want to. But what we ensure is that we don't lose so many pupils on one evening that we're diluting the offering. Our weekends are just as busy as our weekdays. We might have pupils going down to the coast, which is about 40 minutes away, fossil hunting. They might be going coasteering, orienteering. They might be zorbing on the pictures. Every evening, we've got lots and lots of activities going on. But some schools definitely have a more flexible approach. We don't have flexi boarding. We are very much boarding all day, but invariably our day pupils are with us at the weekends because they love all of the activities that we have on offer. So they can come along, join everything that goes on a Saturday and a Sunday. Lots and lots of opportunities that actually are available to them on school site, over 100 activities, lots of them in collaboration with our brother school as well. So rather than parents having to organise those things, perhaps drive the pupils to and from those things, everything is available. Whether it's fencing, climbing, playing the bagpipes. We've got a pupil who came to us this year who wanted to play the bagpipes. We didn't have an instructor, but we found an instructor. You name it, the girls will be doing it, including all of the normal sports, cricket, rugby, football, lacrosse. They're doing all of those things.
Brilliant. Well, you've given me an idea. I'm going to try and encourage my daughter to ask her school to provide a bagpipe teacher. But I've got a daughter at a London day school, so I know that the lights don't go out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So talk us about the sort of whole school day in a day school. It's not commuting to an office.
No, it isn't. And absolutely not. It's as you say, that we're open and very, very busy until whatever, 7 o'clock in the evening, and there is a huge range of, as I'm sure is the case in all the schools you've been looking at today, a huge range of extra and co-curricular activities. And that is what these kind of schools are about. So again, massive amount of music. There are so many orchestras, chamber groups, choirs. There's a huge amount, again, actually surprisingly, of sport. I mean, please do come and have a look at our school, because it actually is a bit of a TARDIS and there are actual pitches around us. And we go to Hampstead Heath and we go to Grove Park and things like that to do even more sport. And there's absolutely every kind of club, of debating, public. I mean, it's just over 100 clubs of every kind of complexion. I don't think we have got bagpipes, now I think about it, but we do have absolutely everything else. And a key question for you is boarding or day? Absolutely. And I think that's probably a question parents almost have answered before they're looking. I might be wrong, but it's so fundamental that I guess, in a way, you sort of cover that off early. And I was asked recently in a similar thing recently about the gender thing. How fundamental is it that you're, for instance, single sex as opposed to co-ed? Or is it just, a good school is a good school? And again, it is really, really interesting. And I'd love to know from the people here in front of us, how definitive, how defining is that? Because I think it is an important part of our...
Single sex.
Yeah, single sex.
We do a quick show of hands. Let's do some audience interaction, even though the cameras aren't on you. How many think single sex is the most important factor? I would say a quarter. What would you say? Is my math?
Yeah.
And how many don't mind, are agnostic, as it were? And how many think co-ed? Interesting. So I would say that actually single sex is probably the largest represented group here.
So that is really interesting. Thank you for that. That's my answer.
They've all got sons, by the way, but
someone asked me. But I do think I think that's important, and I think place is hugely important. Location is definitive, and that's an odd thing to be saying, isn't it? Right now, when we've just had a year you know, proving that our schools can be, you know, can be placed anywhere and can still be schools, which is, you know, one of those thought experiments, isn't it? You know, are you still the same thing if you're in a completely different body? I do think location is absolutely central, and that point again about, you know, yeah, you know, the journey to and from school, and the you know what it means being in a London day school again, and again getting the space, you know, between home and school, I think is actually is a really important part of growing up. I mean, there's a lovely line that we often use that, you know, that some of the people that you travel on the Northern Line with, or the District Line, or wherever, you know, will end up as your bridesmaids. You know, these are key moments, those journeys in and out of school. And I mean, absolutely, you know, like Ruth and many schools, you know, we obviously phones are not around in school during the day. I think that's pretty common practice now, isn't it? That they are, of course, they're hugely useful when journeying, but in the school day, they're not part of, you know, anything that would distract and take, you know, pupils away from the experience.
Do you think the facilities, because you've both obviously got vast experience, do you think day schools think differently about kind of what facilities they provide for their pupils compared to a boarding school, which tends to be sort of more rural, more self-contained?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously you don't usually, anyway, you get the same sense of, you know, many, many acres, very, very rarely. Mm. But I don't think, you know, woe betide the day school that doesn't offer an equal and yes, you know, significant amount of really rewarding and rich extracurricular activities. And frankly, even if they didn't, the pupils would generate them. I mean, Ruth will remember, you know, that there is so much that is student-led. I mean, entirely student-led, really, at City. These are girls who absolutely, you know their own mind and really, you know, really want to create the curriculum and the beyond the curriculum that they want and do. And it is, it's such a joy to see.
We've sort of run out of time, so I just want to ask one last question to both of you, which is sort of, I don't know if it's helpful in the slightest, actually, but when you said sort of people have probably already decided in a very non-pejorative way, I mean, when you talk to your parents, as you do all the time, do you find, as in fact I find with my friends, that the kids who I know who are going to boarding school are going to the schools that their parents went to or knew? You know, there are day school parents and boarding school parents.
That's really interesting. So one of the things we say to parents when they look around is to make sure they are not deciding where their child is going based on their own experience. So yes, we definitely have parents who, or grandparents, who went to Sherborne Girls or went, their, you know, grandparents went to Sherborne School. And we say, you've got to choose the right school for your child. And equally, when Jenny asked a few minutes ago whether you think single sex, co-ed, or you're, you know, ambivalent about it, we're seeing an increasing number of parents who are looking at, with daughters, looking at Sherborne Girls, and I don't doubt it's the same for City Girls, because of the fact we have a joint offering with our brother school, which then means the girls have the benefit of single-sex education, education without distraction, education where they can be themselves. As Jenny says, they've set up all these societies, they've got a diverse voices group, where they're actually challenging, they're asking the school about what we're doing to increase diversity within the school, where they're going through some of our policies and saying, hang on a minute, let's look at the wording here. This is how we can bring about change for good. So we're doing all of those things. And going back to the facilities question, I think, you know, Jenny touched upon activities as well. And facilities are important. But what I'd say to you is be really, really careful. Some schools have got huge legacies. They can invest in maybe a £10 or £20 million science centre. But if the teachers aren't up to scratch, if the teachers aren't really invested in your child and they're going to nurture your child and stretch and challenge your child, then the £20 million, you know, beautiful suite is maybe not the best use of that money. You've got to look at what the resources are, and the best resources in a school are the teachers. Look at that relationship that you see there. So I would say that actually, you know, just think outside the box a little bit. Don't be afraid to say, OK, I've never thought of day. I've always thought about boarding because, my, you know, I went through boarding. Actually have a look at some of those day schools and vice versa. Perhaps say, do you know what? Maybe I need to have a look at boarding. Maybe I need to think outside the box and see what else is available out there.
Jenny.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I totally agree with Ruth that it is the people fundamentally. I mean, I did say location matters, yeah. And it does, but, you know, the quality of the people is what makes, well, our jobs so incredible and rewarding and a delight. And I think, I mean, we've certainly found, interestingly, that there's, I mean, we have a lot of alumni whose daughters are making applications. There is a lot of that. And there is, once a city girl, always a city girl. Even if you end up with a kind of mix of city and Sherborne. And by the way, we're
both
each...
you own the same car.
We're each in city red.
I know.
I mean, what are the chances? But, you know, so I think there is a kind of, you know, there is a sense of, you know, there is that lovely family feeling, even though, of course, our alumni are scattered internationally. But I think it's interesting. I mean, we've seen fewer and fewer people leaving. Well, we have almost no people leaving in year 11, though. That's very, very rare. I don't know why. And I don't know, you know, quite why that, but I do know why, because it's an amazing school and people love being there. And I think that's really it. I mean, just come and see the schools.
Absolutely.
I agree totally with Ruth that there are so many wonderful places and you will find somewhere that is the perfect fit for your daughter.
And brilliant. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jenny Brown from City Girls. Thank you, Ruth Sullivan from Sherborne. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Are we taking questions?
We weren't planning to take questions because, in theory, our next panel is about how on earth they're going to pay for this.
That might be the first question.
I think both of us will probably be floating around outside.
Yes.
So if you do want to ask anything, please don't hesitate. And you've got to stand here.
We've got a stand for our new junior school. This is so
perfect.
Exciting.
And we've got a stand, so I'll be over there for the next half an hour or so. Thank you all ever so much for coming to listen.
Brilliant.
Hello.
Thank you very much.
It's lovely to see you. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed that episode. Thanks for listening, and please head to schoolsshow.co.uk to check out our other recordings.